You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of January 21st, 2015, and it's the Patch Notes Party Time!
Oh, God. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games, and we are usually going a mile a minute.
Yes!
Gotta play all those games. Gotta play them now. Gotta finish them. Gotta play new games.
You know, I should have made a cabbage patch joke, I realize now, in retrospect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would have been more apropos during, like, the holiday season or whatever, when people are really trying to do. But, We are coming back to some games that we have been playing, because usually, I mean, this is the thing that we talk about all the time. We play these games, we podcast about these games, we frantically try to play new games to podcast about them and do videos. Like, we're just kind of on this treadmill. This terrible, awful treadmill of new video games. Ugh. But every once in a while, we want to stop that old treadmill. Get on...
Whoa, catch ourselves.
The stair-stepper machine.
I'm really gross, yeah.
And then just rest between sets, because you gotta recuperate.
Yes.
We leave our gross towel on the machine as a jerk move to prevent other people from getting on it.
You can't play that game now.
No, sorry. I'm still on my set, bro. But we're going to talk about some games that we have been playing regularly over the past couple months.
Yes.
Because some of them have gone through changes, or we have just started approaching them differently.
Yes. And, you know, I think this is sort of the norm now in terms of games journalism, and maybe we want to talk about it at some point. But
yes.
I find it interesting now that more and more there are, you know, there's a sort of emphasis on, we have to keep talking about Destiny. This game is huge. Let's keep talking about Destiny in order to get all those sweet, sweet hits. I know Kotaku now is, like, basically assigned people to the life of a game.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the repercussions of games having super long tails with all sorts of crazy DLC and out and whatnot. But I think more and more it makes sense to talk about games like that. So yeah. I like these sort of regular check-ins, especially because we tend to play certain games a lot, even if we never talk about it.
Yes. Gas. Games as a service.
Yes.
I'm quoting it, right? Coining it right now.
Yeah, trademark.
Gross.
Patent pending.
Let me start, and I'll throw one out there that won't take actually that long, because I haven't been playing it too much since the holidays. Titanfall.
Titanfall.
Good
old buddy. Robot overlord.
Robot versus humans.
How was that?
Titanfall is still excellent. People.
That is all. Thank you very much.
That is all. Goodbye, everyone. People, it's gone into this, like, basically stasis mode where all the arguments are already set up. People still constantly complain about the auto pistol, like, in the chat and everything. Like, that's just like a way of life now for people.
There's just billboards now. People wear t-shirts in game and say, screw the auto pistol.
Yeah, noob pistol sucks. And then most of those people are just mad because they're losing. They have, you know, we didn't talk about this too much, but they pushed out a few more updates to it that are around, like, a wave-based cooperative mode where you're fighting against, there's some pretty neat things where, like, some Titans will suicide into your base and just blow themselves up on purpose, so you're trying to figure out...
Is that built into the game, or is that something that players have figured out?
No, this is just AI. So, like,
oh, I see.
You have a base, and they basically taken the MOBA thing one step further, and, like, you have an ancient that you're trying to...
Wait, are you saying that there's the evolution of the MOBA?
It's just going. It's just constantly evolving. They are...
Evolve?
Yeah, it's constantly... There's monsters in it now. Actually, no.
Are there monsters?
Well, I mean, there's those monsters that... There's, like, those dragon beasts in that one level.
You know, they never brought them into the game, did they?
No. I mean, you can shoot them and get, like, achievements for shooting them, but that's pretty much it. I mean, it's very stable. It's, like, there's a core group of people still playing it. But I just find it interesting to see what, like, a steady culture of a game looks like.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be stupid arguments about the noob pistol. There's always going to be arguments about... You know, what mode you play, or, you know, how you, you know, are you trying to go for the prestige achievement and therefore you're, like, screwing over your team, so on and so forth.
So have they stopped DLC, though? Like, is that it? Are we done?
I mean, all three DLC, like, they had a year's worth of DLC, basically, you could buy the season for. And then they had a bunch of, like, you know, patches, some of which were bigger, like they introduced new game modes, and some of which were smaller, which were like balance changes or something. Sure. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Titanfall 1 is like is set in stone now. Like, I doubt there will be new patches for
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Until Titanfall 2.
Until Titanfall 2. Well, in which case, they'll probably just, like, patch it to make it unplayable so people are forced to upgrade to Titanfall 2. But, yeah.
That's... Everyone gets two new pistols.
Yeah. Oh, dual-wielding.
Dual-wielding new pistols.
I want to see that just to see people rage the fuck out. Like, I just want to see how mad people get.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Cool. That's Titanfall.
Nothing else?
I mean, yeah. I've talked about Titanfall for, like, many, many hours on this podcast, but, like, it's still a great game. Like,
and there's still a healthy community, too.
I mean, on the PC, anyway. Like, you'll never be waiting. Cool. I mean, healthy is all relative, because, like, if you're not that good at it, it will take a while to get good now, because the people who are playing it now have probably been playing it for a little while.
Out of curiosity, after the break, did you see, like, an influx of noobs? Like, was there a reaping at some point?
There was a bit, yeah. There was a bit of a harvesting that I did, because during the holiday, they also put it on... you know, they put on sale or whatever. Yeah. It was like $5 or something like that.
Sure.
So yeah, there's always an influx of people, and it's like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, come to me.
That also happened with another game that we'll talk about, but we'll save that for another minute.
For later. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. This is actually, I think, significant, because you mentioned the you'd love to see the twin noob pistols.
Uh-huh.
And in some way, like, that's sort of the level of experimentation that Riot is taking these days with mm-hmm. League of Legends. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's to the point of game-breaking, but mm-hmm. they also had Snowdown Showdown, which was, like, a pretty weird...
Was this a winter
It was, like,
thing
a winter... Yeah, it was a winter sort of festival mm-hmm. game mode, which is actually really popular and pretty cool,
mm-hmm.
Where you're sort of throwing things at enemies,
mm-hmm.
and then if you hit it, and 10 of you hit the basically, it's like a snowball. It's a Poro, but it acts like a snowball. If you hit that 10 times, it summons, like, a king, and this huge creature comes down, and you sort of follow it and have a good time. But beyond that, they've also done a lot of experiments changing some pretty significant mechanics between Season 4 and upcoming Season 5. And they've just now locked it down, I think, at this point.
Are the seasons annual these days? Or are they like 18 months, or like what do they consider a season?
No, I mean, I think they're annual, but I think it's shorter than a year, because it's basically from the season is associated with the competitive scene season.
I mean, that's like any other sport,
right?
Like,
or the ranked season, right? So they shut off ranked mode for a period of time. There was no point in playing it, because you couldn't up or increase or decrease your rank.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your rank from the previous season. If you made Silver 5, then you were Silver 5.
Mm.
Period. As they sort of implemented a bunch of big changes, let the sort of water settle, people figured out, you know, how to get back into the flow, and then they start up the season again. And I think as of today, the season has officially begun. Thursday is the first LCS match of this particular season. Ranked matches are available again now, and it's time. So one big change that actually came out very recently in the latest patch is... So if you know League of Legends or most MOBAs, you have your base, and then you have three exits out of your base.
Yeah.
In between those exits, they've placed special walls that only the teams whose base it is can walk through. So there's now, instead of three doors, there's five.
Hmm.
Which just sounds like it's not that significant, and I'm sure generally it doesn't break down to be super significant.
Mm-hmm.
But that increases movement speed quite a bit. It lets you sort of... flank people who are trying to siege you easier. All sorts of weird things are sort of coming out of that.
Do those walls ever get destroyed if some of the barriers are taken down?
You cannot interact with it in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I haven't had a chance to play it, mind you. This literally only came out last week, and I haven't touched it yet. But it's pretty cool. I mean, the weird sort of changes. They've already changed a lot of the jungle. They've sort of leveled up the dragon's importance in between the patches, such that the objectives are becoming more and more important.
I was hearing, maybe this was a Twitter conversation I was lurking in or something, but like I was hearing some people say that that's drastic. Like now, basically, it's kind of the matches they played anyway. It was basically a requirement to go after those things. Like people were like just prioritizing them so much higher.
So just to give you some idea about why, right? So every time you kill the dragon, you get a permanent buff to your team. And that buff stacks up to five dragons that you kill.
Mm-hmm.
So if and every time you kill the dragon, the subsequent dragon becomes harder for you to kill, right? So
just for your team or for everyone?
Just for the team that killed that dragon.
Okay.
So it's sort of the dragon itself evolves based upon how many times that you've killed it. And it's easier to kill the dragon if you've never killed it before.
Mm.
But the team that kills the dragon gets a boost, and then another boost, and then another boost.
Yeah.
When you kill the dragon, I think it's for the fifth time, you get, like, a significant attack boost. And that is really, really bad. Like, you really do not want the enemy team to be killing the dragons to give themselves the boost, or to get closer to that five dragon buff. So every time the dragon comes up, you have to contest it. Right. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Even if you don't want it. Just to deny it is something that you need to do.
I mean, and that isn't to say that you should fight it, because I've seen a lot of people go in to try to kill it and then die or fight for one reason or another.
You just want to take out the people who are trying to fight it, even if you don't want to fight it.
Yeah, like, you just have to be really smart about it. Yeah, and I'm sure right now it's still, you know, I'm by no means a pro gamer. I'm no MLG.
Yet.
Yet. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of controversy about when is the ideal time to take it down.
Because that's pushing, that's getting pushed into the actual standard ranked match. 100, rule,
yes,
right?
Yep, yeah, 100%. Yeah, and then there were also some changes to Baron as well. They made Baron, who provides this sort of big endgame buff, a significant challenge, to the point where there was they reined it back in a little bit because people were getting to a stage where they weren't sure what to do. Like, they've gotten a few dragons, they could force dragon now, or maybe dragon is down, but they don't have enough dominance to end the game out, and Baron is just a little bit too hard, and they don't want to throw it. So there was a moment of, like, sort of indecision, which I think is partially why they, or at least that's what they say, they reined in that particular challenge. But you see a lot of tweaks right now going on with some of those changes as, like, everything sort of settles. But now that the season is on, it's sort of like, okay, this is here to stay. We're stuck with this. If you haven't learned, you know, whether or not you want to start at this frog called Gromp or not, like, then, you know.
Get your Gromp game.
Yeah, you're behind. You're behind. So.
Do you like these changes so far?
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that the game changes in between the seasons. It's always an exciting period because you don't know what's up, right? The wall changes, like I said, I haven't played them yet. It's probably not super significant, but who knows?
Is that being pushed up to the...
Yeah, that's out right now. Wow. I mean, I don't technically know what the LCS... what patch the LCS players are playing on this Thursday.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes that doesn't line up with what is currently out. But, you know...
How do you freeze your patch? Like, do they just... If you are LCS, they kind of put you on a special list or whatever?
Well, you're in a stadium. I think they have its own server just for your play.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But for practicing purposes, I mean, you have to find some way to not... be on the right patch, right? Like,
I mean, for practicing purposes, if they're never that far behind, so imagine for practicing purposes, they'll still practice on the most up-to-date patch, just because they want, eventually that will come down the pipeline. Right. But, you know, every now and then you'll watch an LCS match or a major tournament, and they'll say, just FYI, this character is still really good because we haven't nerfed her yet. Mm. You know, they're not on the patch where we sort of scaled her back in.
So. Are there any big characters that underwent changes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of changes. They actually updated a lot of the art as well, which I find kind of interesting.
That was a big deal for people, just saying, like, it had been, you know, whatever, 5 years or whatever since they had done a major redesign of the art.
Yeah, and so they modernized the, not just the map, but the characters themselves, the splash screen. So I think that's kind of interesting as a good way of sort of like, hey guys, these are cool characters, are actually really cool and well designed, and the art is updated accordingly. But sorry, what was your question? I got distracted.
Characters. Yeah, the mechanical significance. Did they change anyone that was like a fan favorite and all of a sudden, you know, they're...
Yeah, I mean, a lot are pulled back, right? Like Elise, who was really big last season, got a lot of knockbacks, and now she's not nearly as popular in the jungle.
She's a spider character.
She is a spider character. I'm not like a jungling pro, so I can't speak to like all of the awesome junglers.
Not a mad jungler.
Not a mad, sweet jungler. But there's a lot of changes. They actually released Rek'Sai, which is this awesome, awesome character. She's kind of like, have you ever seen that movie, the best movie? Have you ever seen, I should say, Kevin Bacon's excellent Oscar-nominated film, Tremors?
I actually have never seen Tremors.
What?
Yeah. Oh my god. I know that's somewhat surprising.
The first Tremors is actually really good.
I know of Tremors.
I know of... You know of the Graboids?
Yeah, I know of the Graboids, but have never seen it.
So, weird side story, I was really into Tremors as a kid. Like, Tremors 2, I watched like a dozen times.
I mean, it seems like for a kid, like, that would be pretty fun. Yeah. Like... And now Kevin Bacon's a character in League?
Oh, my God, I wish. Rito, please, Kevin Bacon.
Every time he hit him, he's like, thank you, sir, I have another.
That would be absolutely awesome. No, so Rek'Sai is this character. It's not really like a Tremor. It's only kind of like a Graboid. The creature can dive under the ground. And when underground, you lose the ability to see around you, but you can see movement, like echolocation.
So there's a fog of war, but you can see little pings when you're... Yeah.
It is fucking so cool. Yeah. And even better... So
that's extreme. Like, has that ever happened with any other character?
I've never seen that in any other game. Are you kidding? Like...
Well, I mean, that happens in plenty of games where it's like, oh, you're blurry and you can do like a radar ping pulse or something. Sure, but but I mean, that differs so massively from just a standard character.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really cool. And even crazier, so this character digs tunnels, and the tunnels stay, and you can use them later. So there's tunnels all over the map.
The tunnels persist.
Yeah, the tunnels persist, which creates this really creepy, every time you see a tunnel, you're like,
a dude could come
out of there at any time. And
is there a way to fill in the hole?
Yeah, you can step over them and they'll collapse, which is pretty cool.
That's smart too, yeah.
But the radar ping, what's really neat is that... So Rek'Sai is generally a jungler, and I don't play jungler. I mostly play support or main.
Mm-hmm.
But other people on the team can also see that ping in areas that they cannot see. Hmm. So if Rek'Sai is underground and there's a wall between you and an enemy, you can see the enemy is there. So I played a ranked game the other day against... or not a ranked game, a normal game the other day against... I think someone on my team was Rek'Sai, and we were chasing someone, and I could see where they were
because they were
running
pinging.
Away, and I could see little pings to let me know, okay, I'm going to fire, and I ended up missing, I think, but the point is, that's so cool, that's such a neat thing.
Hmm.
So, of course, that character is banned in all games, and I never see who played, so, but there you go.
That's so annoying.
I mean, you know, it happens, right? People get to ban or whatever, but that character is pretty cool. I'm really excited to see what people will do with it on LCS. My guess is it'll be banned for a while because it's pretty good. The ultimate goes to any tunnel she's created on the map, no matter where she's at.
It's basically a portal of wherever you created a hole.
Wherever there's a hole, she jumps into the ground and burrows straight through to that to that location.
It's almost like a novelty thing, but they are putting it in as just to see will people... I don't know. I kind of feel like it's the equivalent of a puppet character in a fighting game where it's almost like a novelty. But I definitely want to see what the pros do with that because I like seeing that.
So that's exactly why I'm actually most excited for Thursdays, because even though I've played a bunch of League since the major changes in the seasons, not as much as I would have liked, but I've played a lot. I've watched other people play, but I haven't spent a lot of time watching pros play. I know they've been streaming it, but I just haven't watched it.
Yeah.
And I imagine that we're going to be seeing things this coming season, like new characters or ideas or whatever, that are significantly different from what I have come to expect.
Yeah.
The Fantasy LCS is starting pretty soon, so I'm going to be doing that draft, I think tomorrow, actually. But I don't know. I just don't know who's good.
Do they solicit feedback from pro players, or is this all just data mining?
I'm sure it's behind closed doors, but I'm certain they receive feedback from pros.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I don't even know how they do that in physical sports. They have a rules committee in football.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you were going to sit Peyton Manning down, he would obviously, I want, anytime someone even breathes on my receiver, I want pass interference. So I just wonder how they decide what characters to do. And,
just because you receive feedback doesn't mean you have to listen to it.
I know, but, I mean, you kind of know, what people are going to say, but maybe someone might say something interesting. And
Or racist.
Then you're like, well, maybe we should change the color palette for all of those people. So I don't know. I just, because the community is so, is such a crucial part of the game. Yeah. I just wonder if that makes a difference.
I don't know what this is like for other competitive esports, but my guess is that a lot of pros understand, I'm a player, not a designer.
Yeah.
And sort of respect them and sort of wait to see how things sort out. I mean, I've seen pros complain before, but at the same time, for example, I remember watching a video of one of the pro players watching themselves the video of Rek'Sai being announced and going, oh my god, that's crazy. Mm. I think at that point they probably had no idea how powerful or weak or nerfed or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they know that, League is always receiving patches, there's always going to be changes, so... what's the point of complaining one week when next week is going to be fixed?
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move on to the next game. It's another game that you've been playing. I want to hear about Destiny.
Destiny.
Welcome,
Guardian.
When we last left our Guardian, you had received a very cool gun, which you immediately put in your inventory because it probably sucked compared to everything else. I don't know if that's true
or not. I actually received a sweet gun the other day.
So we are now at the point where... they've been obviously releasing, subtle patches here and there.
Yep.
But they pushed out the first large paid piece of DLC.
Yes, The Dark Below.
The Dark Below.
Yep.
And what is in it?
Okay, so in The Dark Below, in addition to raising the level cap,
uh-huh.
and...
Okay, wait, hold on. Is this the...
Already, we gotta stop.
Is this the level cap of... I'm going to shoot guys and get experience, or is this the level cap of I'm going to put on this helmet and gain a level?
Yes, this is your light level.
Okay,
the light level cap has
your
increased.
Shard? How do your shards of light?
In my kingdom for a shard. Yeah. I've talked to friends too, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. by sheer weird luck, mm-hmm. I have the worst luck regarding shards. I have
You're
like,
cursed.
So there's like two types of currency.
Yeah.
Well, okay, first off, there's like 50 types of currency. But the two of significant types are Ascendant Energy and Ascendant Shards.
Okay.
Ascendant Shards you use to upgrade armor.
Okay.
Ascendant Energy you use to upgrade weapons.
All right.
I have enough Ascendant Energy to like murder the entire planet. And I have like two Ascendant Shards.
Can you trade or barter these shards in any way?
You cannot.
Nothing. Even if you put it into your vault or whatever, and like you can't swap it.
Oh, I mean, I could give Ascendant Shards to another
character.
Okay. And this is actually super weird.
Mm.
But a lot of people have rolled multiple characters just so they can do these daily heroics and then swap the rewards.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, you can do a daily heroic story once a day, and I think it'll net you three Ascendant Shards or three Strange Coin or whatever, another currency in the game. So they'll go run that, get their three Strange Coin, switch characters, run it again, get another three Strange Coin, and then give that six coin to their quote-unquote like real character.
Their main.
Uh-huh. And then at any point, if they want, they can just say, oh, this gun's really good and I want to play the Warlock, so I'm going to give it to my Warlock now instead of my Titan.
So they are gold farming, but they're doing it themselves for their other characters.
Yeah, but having leveled other characters to that level before.
Yeah.
That's a kind of an absurd commitment that I just refuse to... I refuse to commit to that.
So you got your complete lack of Ascendant Shards.
Yes.
Is what and what are they bump it up to? 30? 35? Like the level
the
cap.
The light level, 32. So only 32. Only increased by 2.
Got it.
So right now I'm at level... I go back and forth between 28 and 29.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'll switch armor if I get a new one, and then I'll drop back down because my shit's not bright enough or something. I don't know.
That leveling system still just baffles me to this day.
It's, you know, it's kind of weird. There's two things. One, I kind of like it a little bit because if you get lucky, if you get a drop, like it's easier for your friends to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I've got some friends, I actually have a couple of coworkers who've been playing lately, and they're right about catching up to our level. And I've seen them jump from level 22 to level 25 because they get a rare drop because we're running them through some DLC content or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they finally are able to afford buying something from the Vanguard vendor, and they buy the DLC content, this upgraded piece of armor or weapon, and it's awesome, and they jump right back up to our levels.
Mm.
They don't have to fucking farm Molten Core or whatever like some other MMO. They sort of just catch up.
Mm.
That's kind of cool. The downside, though, is you need so many different weird things to upgrade your weapons that it becomes like just a mess. It's just a total mess. I mean, so let me give you an example, right? Every now and then you get an exotic bounty. This is a unique bounty, and you have to go do all this bullshit in order to trade that bounty into a gun.
This is one of those things where it's like, kill X number of gross things with your pistol. But
complicated than that. Like, kill 50 enemies from behind with a knife, right? Which is, okay, fine. You can do that.
Yeah.
Or I'm on one right now. This is especially egregious. You just have to buy something from a vendor. But that thing costs 50 special ammo packs. And every ammo pack costs 250 glimmer. All of these guys, by the way, these are just becoming more currencies.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to get the equivalent of 250 times 50, so an absurd amount of glimmer.
What if America ran on the monetary system?
So basically it's like a barter system, right? It's like, I don't accept dollars.
Get out of here.
Come on, but I will buy those lozenges,
and
there's a guy across the street who will buy those lozenges for grapefruits, and if you go a couple miles away, that guy will sell you grapefruits for your dollars. So just, you figure it out, come back here.
But this is only going to be valid for this Thursday, so get on.
Yeah, exactly. I have limited hours. I got a wife and kids. Yeah, apparently Soar, who's only on the weekend. I don't know. Where does he go during the weekday? What is he doing with his time?
So you are in this chain of currency.
Chain of currency to buy a thing that will give me a gun that I then have to go to Soar, who comes on Thursdays and Saturdays, and give him a butt ton of strange coin. And if I'm lucky, he's upgrading that weapon on that day, and I can upgrade that weapon. Otherwise, I have to wait until
the another next week weekend. Or whatever?
But when I do that, when I upgrade that weapon, I upgrade it with more glimmer and a special shard that I have to buy from him.
Paying him for the upgrade and the shard?
Yeah, it's like you need three things. You need the weapon, you need the glimmer, and you need an ascendant shard. He sells ascendant shards, but not for glimmer. He sells them for strange coin. Now I gotta go get some fucking strange coin. Like, it is so bizarre.
Actually, you know, living in Berkeley for all these years has really prepared us for this. Because, like, there's so many times we're like, oh, no, no, this pizza place is only open every other Thursdays there's a full moon, and you also have to pay 4 hours in advance.
Yeah, and like, Monday is like, that's asparagus day. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the asparagus pizza, so we're going to have to go back on Tuesday.
We don't know if he's going to be there, though. We have to check his Tumblr.
Yeah, it's basically that. It's so bizarre. And it's weird, right? Here's why it's weird. I'm in it now. Like, it's natural to me. So this weekend, I upgraded Lucky Raspberry because I had it in my inventory. I've been holding on to it for a while. I didn't have enough shards to get this badass weapon, so I'm like, all right, I can go do this quest, get the strange coin, buy this thing. Explaining it to anybody else, though, is just absurd. I don't get it. Why are they doing that? Like, why not? What is it? Is it like when I trade, when one currency becomes another currency, is that like a magical opportunity for world building? Like, is that, oh, this guy only accepts strange coin.
He's from a culture that prizes the strange coin.
Like, if I have to buy... Okay, so for example, I have to buy an Ascendant Shard with strange coin. Why don't you just not have to buy an Ascendant Shard at all? Why not just make the upgrade cost more strange coin? That's the functional equivalent. There's no reason that you have to have another Ascendant Shard.
Except that it keeps you playing longer.
But that would be the case with increased strange coin also.
But I mean... If
they're just hiding it?
You're saying, I'm not doing strange coin, I'm doing ascendant shards, but really, you're mechanically doing the same thing.
Maybe it's a way so that I can buy one ascendant shard and then mail it to my other guy, because I don't know if I can mail strange coin.
Yeah, huh? Well, you should mail strange checks, because then that way if it gets lost in the...
It's absurd. It's really crazy. But that being said, it's really fun. I'm still really enjoying Destiny.
So they included another, like, strike missions, raids. Like, what do they do?
Another strike mission. They added a few more special missions. There's a whole new set of bounties with a character called Eris Morn, who I call Errol Morris. There's actually only one new environment in the map, which is kind of unfortunate.
Is it on a...
It's on Earth.
Okay.
And it's like you go underground. It's actually a pretty cool level. Like weird classical music plays while you fight a boss and it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. But that's like, besides the raid, there's only that new environment. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, the raid, which I haven't done yet because I'm a total scrub and I don't have five friends who are like around at roughly the same time.
But it's a five-person raid?
It's a six-person raid.
Six-person raid.
Yeah.
Oh. That's more than the last one,
right? No, the last one was 6-2.
Oh, okay. It was just the normal ones were 3%.
Yeah, normal strikes are 3, and then the raid is 6.
Okay. That's fine.
But back in the day, I did 50-man raids.
Well, I mean...
It's a little easier, I guess, back then.
You could... Yeah, and also, like... It was just more easy to optimize something like WoW, I think.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
There was, like, a better social network behind it. But, like, I'm glad to hear that the content seems good.
Yeah, I think the content
even if the economy is still baffling.
Yeah, the economy is still baffling, but you know the weapons are fun, the cool new environments. There's new multiplayer maps, so actually those are new environments.
Have they modified any of the character abilities or anything?
Nope, not as far as I know.
I wonder if they're going to do that at some point.
Just new weapons and stuff. Still working on that grind, getting my new weapons and stuff. But I mean, they're cool. They have really cool weapon design. Mm. You know, and this goes back to
Bungie knows it's sci-fi stuff.
And this goes back to even better. Like I just got a weapon called the Last Word, and it's like a pistol.
Yeah,
and fire it, and it looks like you're hammering.
It's sweet. It's like a six shooter.
I mean, I think it fires 8 rounds, but you hit the hammer down with your hand, and then when you pull it out, you twirl it. It's just it's so flashy.
It's a lot of like art and animation to keep up. You know, that stuff's not cheap.
For sure. And there's some cool new armor from the raid that makes you look like a bug. So if you're into that, If you're a bug person, if you
can you also make your
if you've just read Metamorphosis over and over again and really empathize with that character,
can you make your ship look like a big old bug too?
No, not yet, but there are cool ships. I've seen some neat ships.
Have they added any sort of ship, or are they talking about any sort of ship combat yet?
No. I mean, you know what, Bungie's actually not that open about what changes are coming.
There was some weird leaked PowerPoint slide that someone took a picture of like the roadmap basically for
Destiny. Think I saw this.
Yeah, I mean, I only saw like a quick glimpse of it, but like then Bungie was like trying to be coy about it, and it's like, oh, that was just an early concept, blah blah blah. Like basically there's going to be like a couple big things late next year. Was
okay.
Like, oh, shocker, everyone, like
this coming in Destiny.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, still happy with the season pass though. Like they're gonna do what, another one in April or something, or something.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, and I think the season pass was only for two of the big pieces of DLC, so I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll see. I still have fun with it. I think it's still enjoyable for the same reason it was.
I mean, that shooting is still great, I imagine. Yeah. So, yeah. Is there any multiplayer content for the
new maps?
Just maps, okay.
Yeah, just maps, and I think a new mode, but I haven't played it. I'm not super into the multiplayer.
That's been the most shocking thing about that game overall, because Halo put itself on the map because of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer in this one has just been such kind of an afterthought for not in terms of design, but in terms of like analysis. Like,
yeah,
people just don't talk about it that much.
Yeah, I think people are carried away with the sort of MMO quality, or at least journalists.
Yeah.
That being said, there are people who strictly play the multiplayer and are very good, no doubt. So
yeah,
it's fine.
Speaking of strictly playing the multiplayer, let's talk about the premier multiplayer game on the market. Super Smash Brothers for Wii U.
So we did a debrief on this.
Yes.
Shortly after it came out.
Yes.
Glowing reviews.
Yes.
Really positive.
We kind of forgot we did a podcast about it.
We genuinely did.
Yeah.
We talked about, oh man, we need to do a podcast for Smash.
Yeah. Then we looked at the website and we're like, oh.
We did one already.
Our doppelgangers did one of these.
There can be only one.
Yeah. So after, well, we'll let you decide whether our doppelgangers murdered us or we murdered them.
Yeah.
Something happened, and here we are now.
Yes.
And we are almost 2 months on, I guess. Mm-hmm. A little over a month and a half of playing Super Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Yes.
What do you feel about it?
I feel like I grossly overestimated my ability to learn how to play this game. I think that I suck at Smash Brothers, and it's really unfortunate. You've seen me play, Scott. Like, you and I have played.
I have.
There were, I think at one point, maybe during New Year's Day or something,
mm-hmm.
we played how many matches without me getting a kill?
I will neither confirm nor deny George's KDR on Smash Bros.
I feel like a lot of our thoughts... We've had a lot of conversations about it since then. One of the reasons I think we wanted to have this conversation was because we've soured a lot on the implementation of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not the game itself. Like, I really enjoy playing Smash. It's still a lot of fun.
If anything, the mechanics I appreciate even more, but I'm still frustrated with, like, the online implementation.
Yeah, and it sort of leaves me flabbergasted. I think, you know, we've gone back and forth between playing this, Captain's Toad, mm-hmm. and Mario Kart 8, basically, over the past few months.
Yeah.
And you see one game that just hits it out of the park, Mario Kart 8, so good. And then there are problems that just, in Smash, that doesn't make sense. Like, why am I forced to play 2 minutes?
Yep.
Why can't I even, something as simple as, like, why can I not default to its stock mode whenever I start the game up?
Yeah. Yeah, or like, why can't I change the number of stocks I want to play? Like, why can't we shuffle back and forth between stages? You know, why can't I set up a custom room that people can publicly join rather than people only on my friends list can join? Like, because then it's like, I set up a custom room where it's like, this is 5-stock unlimited time, but also it's on normal stages, not Omega stage. Like, fine, like people can look at that in a menu and choose whether or not to join me. Like,
I mean, we're in the 21st century. Yeah. We have filtering technology. Yeah, you can sort your things out.
And Smash Brothers is good at filtering. Like, they've shown that you can filter by players, and they keep all these crazy stats. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like a, you know, it's not an interface problem. You know, I don't think anyway, but like there's just certain things where it just feels like the teams weren't learning from each other as they were going.
Yeah, or learning from other games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or learning from the height of technology, the early 1990s server queue. Like,
yeah,
it's weird. I don't get it.
Total side note, actually. Mm. This is another patented George tangent. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about how the Dreamcast had a web browser.
Oh, yeah.
How weird is it that, like, that had a web browser, but even today no one uses web browsers? in consoles. Do you ever load yours up?
I mean, there's a web browser in every console.
When was the last time you used your like PS3 web browser?
When I wanted to see if I could play a YouTube video on it.
And you saw that you couldn't, and like, this is useless. Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I'm controlling the mouse with an analog stick, right. And then I stopped.
Super bizarre. Anyway, back to Smash.
Yeah.
Besides our sort of changed feelings about the online interface, mm-hmm. all that experience, how have you seen the player base change? You've played much more ranked against...
Yes.
Against other players, yeah. You've taken it more seriously.
I hover around a 40% win rate.
Okay.
Depending on who I play and when I play.
That's very... I played like 52 matches and lost all but one, so...
So, that's approximately a 0.5% win rate. Yes. Yeah. So, yes. I think... I wrote a little bit of this on Pop Matters, but... people are definitely getting it's getting more extreme.
Yes.
The good people are getting way better, and then there's bad people that I'm getting much better than, right? So especially after the holidays, there was another harvesting, like because
what we call a blood harvest,
a smash harvest, where I jumped online and there were clearly some people that had just got the game, or there were people that I'm pretty sure are either much older than me or much younger than me.
Yeah. This is why I should only play, by the way, like Monday afternoons at 2. Like right when the kids get off school.
You're never safe, though, because when you jump on at night, it's the daytime in Japan, and then there's really good Japanese players.
Right.
And so, like, you're never really safe. And so the point is that the skill gap is increasing. And I'm doing my best to keep up. Like, you know, I can keep up with, I don't know, a little less than half the people out there.
Yeah.
You know, people are definitely starting to settle on their characters. Mm-hmm. You get a lot more people that will just play one character over and over again.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. A lot more Foxes and Falcos maybe than we saw day one.
Surprisingly few Foxes and Falcos. There's a lot of...
I feel like we saw a lot of them in teamed matches, but do you feel like the team matches have significant changes in what people play versus single player?
I don't know. I guess I don't really have an opinion on that. I think on team matches, it's nice to have someone with a ranged attack and someone who's a melee attack, because that way you basically have like a front row, back row dynamic where you can cover someone the whole time.
Right.
But I mean, for the single player, it's just been, obviously any Fire Emblem character is popular. Yes. Like all of those characters are quite popular.
Yeah, I'm really feeling it.
That's not a Fire Emblem character. That's a Xenoblade character.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Zero Suit Samus, pretty popular. Yoshi is very good. I've been trying to mess around with Yoshi because the priority on his attacks is insane. Like, he will go through many people's attacks.
Right.
His attacks also do a lot of damage. It's just hard for me to kind of control him.
He also seems really hard to knock off.
He is. He has a really good get back. His damage, like his down air attack, can easily do like 20% damage in
also,
one blow.
He is completely adorable.
He's annoying as fuck to play because he's always making noises. Yeah, exactly. I see a lot of... I mean, Captain Falcon is a pretty good character. Yeah. I see a lot. But, you know, every once in a while, it's just really fun. Like, I played someone the other day who was Bowser, and he beat me 3 times in a row. And I was like, man, I should just retire right now. Like, beating with Bowser? Like, what the heck?
Sure.
So, when
last we met, I was choosing to play Robin, mostly, and maybe some Bowser Jr. You were Rosalina Luma, and maybe some Wii Fit Trainer.
Yep.
Where are we settling now in terms of who we play as?
I mean, I'm completely bought into Rosalina and Luma, to the point where I have... actually started to try to not play her all the time because I feel like I'm getting too handicapped by what I expect. I decided, I made this conscious decision. I was like, I need to get good with a heavy player, a main who cares what it is, just some kind of main that I'm most comfortable with. But I also need a ranged player. Like,
see,
I don't really
have
one. I'm
still at the get good phase. You know what I have to do is get good.
People who are playing Mega Man have been very impressive to me. Like, I need someone who can just spam projectiles.
I thought that's sort of the role you had Charizard for, right?
Charizard doesn't have projectiles.
No, but he's unexpected.
He's unexpected. Like, yeah, because people don't play with him that much, you can catch people by surprise, but I feel like I'm getting to the point where I need to invest in someone super annoying, like Toon Link or Mega Man or somebody. You know,
Toon Link. That's a good one. Toon Link is super annoying.
Toon Link has three different projectiles, so it's like I just need to have someone that is a brawler, a heavy, a projectile, and then that's pretty much my three. You know,
right. I'm still trying to get Sheik down.
I mean, Sheik. I follow the tiers and smash boards and like, you know, right now. It'll be cool to see what happens when Evo rolls around.
Yeah.
Kind of the same reason why it's cool when, you know, the league season starts up, right? You can see what people are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. When is Evo anyway? That's
I feel like it's
summer, right?
I always forget when it is. I forget if it's spring or summer.
Literally every year I forget until everyone's like, hey, Evo's on tomorrow.
I'm
like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm going to follow it closely this year and because I'm sure, you know, Smash will be a part of it. But, you know, conventional wisdom now is that the top tier people are Sheik, Rosalina, Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong, God.
Yeah, there's you know, there's kind of a solid core up there. You know, the traditional ones like Captain Falcon and Fox are still up there, but there's been a little bit of a shakeup. But I'm really enjoying playing Rosalina
quite a bit.
I'm really feeling it.
Now that you are the proud owner of... The proud, and I should say owner, like one of five owners of a GameCube controller and adapter. How do you feel that has amped up your gaming skills?
That's been really nice. I like it a lot. I mean, it was coming home.
In for the next like 20 minutes if you'd like. like coming home. Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't like Vietnam, Scott.
I mean, it's
I missed you, GameCube controller.
Playing Smash Bros. With that tablet is a war crime. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm just I played so many hours with that controller, so it's that game was built uniquely around that controller too, and so like we were talking about that the other day, like I was telling you, like you should switch to only using buttons for jumping,
right?
Like, and it's so easy to like tap A and, you know, pivot, basically seesaw your thumb back and forth between the jump and the A button.
I did play it with you, I have to say I did really enjoy it quite a bit, especially the left thumbstick felt like it had more wiggle room than
there's definitely more dead zone.
Yes, more
or not even dead zone, but there's just more physical space in between neutral and extreme. Yes.
Yeah, because I could almost never, like, that sort of, the tilt attacks,
yep.
I found very difficult. I still find them difficult to
they
do,
are
even
difficult.
On GameCube
controller. Yeah, I mean, I mess it up all the time.
But much easier on that versus what I was using.
Yeah. The culture has been slightly changed. Like, there's less mercy deaths now. You know, like, if you fuck up, it's far less likely that people will kill themselves.
That?
I feel like you just have a broader audience, so fewer people do it. And
do you still do it?
I never did it.
Like, you have no honor, Scott.
I mean, like, I play to win. Like, if I'm not playing,
I'm not here to make friends.
No, like, if I'm not playing to win, there's a mode for that. It's called For Fun. Like, I play for glory. Like, so I mean,
but is there glory in like an accidental death like that? That's what I think an honor soldier might tell you.
I mean, there is glory in coming back from adversity and beating your opponent after you mess up.
Right, but if you lose, though.
If you lose, you just have to come back. And, like, sometimes people do that. Like, I see people who've messed up, and then they're like, screw this. They kill themselves, but then they stay in the match with me and then play again.
I see.
Plus, I think people are just more... Now that people's stats are getting built up, they're just more...
They don't want to risk it.
Yeah, they're just more concerned about their stats. So that's not, like, surprising to me. But I don't know. I think I like the game a lot. It's just the implementation of it is kind of wacky. Like, if you want to do any sort of customization whatsoever... It's just not really an option.
Like, what I would really want to be able to do is play for fun, but in an environment that is Final Destination, Omega mode, no items. So I could sort of practice at getting good, but not have to, you know, face the people who are super tryhard, really going to mess me up.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to practice being serious with people who are of my skill level. Mm. And I don't feel like I can get that by joining in the for glory mode, or maybe it's just the matchmaking doesn't quite feel right yet.
Yeah, that could be true. I have no clue how they're doing matchmaking, if they're even doing it at all.
It could just be random. Whoever has the best connection in your area or something.
Yeah. We both have amiibos since last week.
We do have amiibos. Yeah. No regrets on that amiibo.
Complete regrets for me because that thing can beat me almost every time. Like, my amiibo is a monster.
Yeah, my amiibo's pretty good.
It's just amazing how good they get, and also how overpowered they get if you feed them too many items. Like, they're doing, like, 25% damage per hit, and it's like, well, bye, guys. Like,
yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, they actually announced more Amiibos.
Oh, yeah, Season 2 of Amiibos.
And more support, and Amiibo support for 3DS.
So. Yeah. I forget, I'm trying to think of what new Amiibos there were.
There's all of the new, there's new Mario Amiibos, of like Mario in a new stance, Luigi in a new stance.
Was there like a Wario Amiibo or something? I feel like they were going to put one of those
out. There is a Wario Amiibo. And then there's also Amiibos for Ness, Robin coming out, a bunch of other Smash characters that have not yet been released.
And fear not, they're going to release new Marth Amiibos, because I know that's what everyone...
Is that what everybody wants?
For some reason, like, that was, like, one of the most popular Amiibos. Weird. I have no clue why.
I'll probably pick up a Ness Amiibo, just because I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, it's just funny how extreme those things took off.
Yeah.
Like, people just, like, snapped them up, like, weirdly. Like, it only works in one game, but I guess people liked it, you know? Yeah. I mean, now it's going to work in Mario Kart, they're going to patch some stuff into Captain Toad or something like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, though, like, that Amiibo support, I mean, there's not...
You're not missing anything if you don't do it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not super expensive, so I think a lot of people are getting them just because they're toys plus something else.
Something to put on your shelf that also happens to be able to kick your ass in Smash Bros.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, and I have no qualms about that. Like, if I you know, have 5 Amiibos on my desk at work, I'm not going to be ashamed.
Yeah. I'll be ashamed that I don't have the full 20-something Amiibo run. Like,
yeah, that's what you need.
Filthy casual.
Well, speaking of Ness Amiibos.
Yeah.
No, is there anything else that we've been playing that you feel like we need to talk about?
I think that's pretty much it for, like, that's the other theme of this podcast, is, like, we're going to continue to play these games, too. Yeah. So it's kind of like a...
Because there are other consistent... small games. Like, I played Infamous First Light.
Oh, yeah.
Completed that. Yeah. Got some Captain Toad. We haven't talked about that yet.
We'll have to do a What You Been Playing coming pretty soon here.
What You Been Playing?
Because there's some new stuff coming out that I've been looking at, too.
Yeah, plus some Steam Sale games I haven't tried yet. But
I was about to say, yeah, so that's just a normal course of business. Yes. Or, like, the library of shame grows ever larger. Let's wrap it up right there, and we'll say experiencepoints@gmail.com is the email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. Should we make the announcement
for
Earthbound?
We should. We should have put this at the top of the show, but we're dumb. But we'll also put this on the website.
And we can do next week's top of show.
Yeah. George and I are playing Earthbound.
Yes.
And we're gonna do it like kind of like a book club. So if you wanna, you know, play along, you should do so.
Yes. So I've never played Earthbound.
Yes.
It's available on the Wii U if you're looking to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Super interesting, weird game. We'll talk about it. But expect us to mention every now and then that, hey, there's going to be another Earthbound episode. We'll probably break it up into...
Chunks.
Good-sized chunks, maybe.
We're trying to figure out how long it's taking us.
Yeah. So we just got to Tucson is where we were making the soft break. But we'll let you know beforehand every week. And so if you want to play and catch up and play along with us, we'll let you know.
Yeah. And look for that coming on the site with a little bit more detail around that. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. I